Well, okay, everybody, welcome to J&K for today. Sorry about the music introduction fading in and out.
I'll fix that.
I'm Kasia.
I'm Jesse.
And this is the Jesse and Kasia Show, where we are going to talk about current events, entertainment, and religion.
And religion.
Yay!
Yay!
This is basically just because we're bored. Who knows?
Boredom!
Okay. So, first segment of the day is going to be the news.
Entertainment news.
Okay, today, as of today, Gangnam Style is now the most viewed video on YouTube with 805 million views. What do you think?
I'm not surprised.
Jesse loves Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style. Yes. It is a song that I don't know, when did it come out? Like a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
And it's by some Korean dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it has slowly become this incredible fad. But I think it's even surpassed a fad at this point. I think people just love it because, you know, people in their techno.
Mm-hmm.
If it has a good beat, they don't even really care what it says because it's all in Korean. The only English words in it is, hey, sexy lady.
But the interesting thing about this song is that it actually has good words.
Yes, most people do not know what the lyrics are saying. And do you have the lyrics to read?
I can look them up.
While she's looking those up, from what I have heard is that this guy who wrote this song attended the Berklee School of Music, which kind of surprised me because if you listen to the song, you're kind of thinking, wow, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there like this, but you wouldn't think that this was written by a guy who went to the school, Berklee School of Music. And also, it was very difficult for him to get in because he didn't speak barely any English. And so it's kind of a phenomenon of why this song is so huge. And people don't realize, like I said earlier, like what the lyrics actually mean. And they're actually clean, which you don't hear very much nowadays.
Like it says, a girl who is warm and humane during the day. A classy girl who knew how to enjoy a freedom of a cup of coffee. It just talks about that kind of stuff, really. Beautiful, lovable, a girl who is quiet but plays when she plays. A girl who puts her hair down when the right time comes. A girl who covers herself but is more sexy than a girl who bears it all.
So it's definitely countercultural than what we're normally listening to, but people don't know those lyrics.
Yeah, which is kind of sad.
Yes, from what I've also researched and heard about, you know, the famous part in Oppa Gangnam Style. Apparently, Oppa, which we've also heard in Greek movies such as
Clash of the Titans.
No, that's not a Greek movie. That is an action movie starring sweaty men pretending to be gods. No. No, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Oppa!
Oh, right. So what's that mean?
Well, it means different things in different cultures, but in the Korean culture, supposedly it means that when you say that, you're saying it to like an older sibling as like giving respect. And so from what a lot of people have said, he's saying Oppa Gangnam Style. Gangnam is a town of, I think, South Korea.
So, like, respect to Gangnam.
Yeah, kind of like that. And it's not even a city. It's a certain little district that is known for, like, setting trends and being very trendy and very classy. And everything cool that happens comes out of that area.
Interesting.
So, it's like, basically what he's saying is, like, I have the respect and class of Gangnam. So, respect to Gangnam Style.
That's
so, it's kind of cool.
Something else I heard was, like, people were worried he was going to become a one-hit wonder. He doesn't care. He wasn't expecting to get famous in the first place.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of cool, you know.
Oppa, Gangnam Style.
Okay, next. Oh, this is a very interesting thing that happened yesterday. A man was arrested for telling kids that Santa was not.
Now, why was he arrested for that? I haven't even heard of this.
Well, apparently he greased his hair to make himself look like had horns. This was on ABC News. This is real news.
Real news. He greased his hair for what reason?
Was in to look like the devil.
To look like the devil.
He made himself have horns.
Greased his hair. Because the devil obviously greases his hair because he's a greasy guy.
And went around telling kids, guess what? Santa's not real.
This is a touchy subject.
Parents called police. And
because, oh, good Lord, this Satan figure is telling my child that Santa is not real.
There's different views about how, especially I would say in young parents today, like, oh, I don't want to tell my kids about Santa because that's a lie or that takes away from the meaning.
Yes, 911. Yes, Lucifer just told my child that Santa does not exist. Will you please capture this fellow?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about telling kids that Santa isn't real?
I think that, unfortunately, that's just kind of a part of the freedom of speech. I mean, Now the dressing up like the devil is a little much, which to me just makes it all the better because...
So do you think he should have gotten arrested?
I mean, what extent... I don't even... What is the situation surrounding... Did he, like, come up to a kid on the fence and is like, hey, kid, come here.
They were in line to meet Santa.
They were in line to meet Santa.
And this devilish-looking guy.
Devilish or the devil?
Devilish. I'm sure he's not the devil.
Okay, so when they're saying he dressed up like the devil, they're not thinking... They're not actually, like, Lucifer devil. They're, well, like, if handsome devil. Well, if it was the devil,
wouldn't he say Jesus isn't real? I mean...
Handsome devil, slicked back hair, a suit with a cocktail and a cigarette.
It was Lucifer. He was obviously in the wrong place. But...
Was this like mall? Because then he would be in the right place.
I don't know. But anyways, he told these kids and it was in Virginia and he got arrested.
Well, duh, Virginia. That's where the devil lives. This is Lucifer himself. And it's about time someone caught him.
So, yeah. Do you think he should have got arrested?
Well, like, again, I don't even really know the full situation. I think it's pretty lame to tell a kid in line to see Santa, hey, kid, you see that guy over there? He's not the real Santa. There is no real Santa. You know what I mean? That's just kind of lame. So, whether he should have been arrested or, you know, just a slap on the hand, I don't know. Arrested seems a little much, but it is Virginia.
Yeah, that is true.
You can get arrested for anything down there. You wave to a guy, it's like, what did that mean?
Yeah.
Come here.
Okay. As in, other than entertainment news, Black Friday sales dropped this year. Do you know why?
Hurricane Sandy.
No.
Oh, really? That's what they predicted.
Because most stores opened on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. Most stores, like big chains like Target... Walmart. Well, Walmart's open all the time.
Old Navy.
They're religiousless. Old Navy. All these places opened on like 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving, like before pie was served. Mm-hmm. You know?
A lot of people are having trouble with this too, with stores being opened on Thanksgiving.
Even my own mother said, I'm never shopping there. They open on Thanksgiving. Shame on them.
You know, I get, like, the greediness of it, but at the same time, I'm also for saving money and getting things done.
This is my take on it. Look, and this is, you know, this is, you're going to hear me talk about this a lot with politics even as well. You know, the stores can open at 8 o'clock on Thursday. You still have the choice to go or not. Mm-hmm. You know, just because, oh, they open at 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving. I have to go. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get the deal. You know, you're still going to get a deal. You and I went out on Black Friday, and, you know, most of the Black Friday sales go till Sunday.
Yeah, it's, like, weird because Black Friday isn't really Black Friday anymore. It's, like, Black Weekend.
Yeah, Black Weekend.
Cyber Monday.
Then Cyber Monday is a really big day. And most of the Cyber Monday stuff I even saw online today is not just online, but you can go to the actual store and get the same kind of deals. So it's not like you're going to miss a deal. And let's face it, like Old Navy has a sale every weekend that is just as good, if not better, than Black Friday.
Yeah. I don't know. I just it's just like, okay, whatever. Like, let people do what they want to do.
God forbid you miss the deal on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, evening. And it's just like, you know, if you want to go shopping on Thanksgiving.
Whatever, go shopping. It's somebody's personal choice. Just because they're opening doesn't mean they're anti-Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it just means they're a business.
And I also get, like, the whole, gosh, America's gotten so greedy, but...
We've always been greedy.
Yeah.
That's America. We are a greedy country. We are a spoiled country. That's just how it is.
But, I mean, it's awesome that we can go out and shop whenever.
Yeah. I mean, crap. Who doesn't want to go shop at Old Navy and Target on a 8 o'clock on a Thursday
night? The lady
night.
Told me, she's like, if you come from midnight to 4 in the morning, you get a free Wii game.
Really? What Wii game?
Super Mario Brothers. There's a new Super Mario Brothers out for the Wii.
Well, there you go. There you go. That mm-hmm. I mean, that is worth it in and of itself.
Yeah. Me and Jesse just sold our Wii, and we are kind of sad.
Just letting everyone know, for those who like Xbox and PlayStation and Wii, it is definitely a preference. Like, I grew up with Nintendo 64 and a GameCube, and so the Wii was very easy for me because it's all the same company. Well, when we sold our Wii to get the Xbox, all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute, we have to pay to watch Netflix on the Xbox, the gold package, the silver package, all this, I'm starting to believe it just was not worth it.
Well, I'm glad we can watch DVDs on it. We're getting totally off topic, but I do miss the Wii games. Like, I don't really like the Xbox games very much.
Well, we're not war games people. We are like Super Mario,
Spyro, which was PlayStation.
Yeah, hardcore games.
We need to get a PlayStation 2 again.
Mm-mm. Next segment.
Next segment is Jesse's music time.
Jesse's music time. Why are you doing circus music? Why is it when my time comes, you think, oh, what's the first music that comes to mind? Circus music. I look at my husband and think of the circus. Well,
so, Jesse, you're a music man. You know good music. You know bad music. You know catchy music. You know.
Mm-hmm.
What CD would you recommend this week for our listeners, hey moms, to buy?
Our listeners, hey mom, grandma, brother. I'd say probably, I mean, we're all kind of getting into the holiday music, but before we hit holiday music, there's definitely a band that really kind of broke through the norm that surprised me lately, and they're called Bella Reeve. Mm-hmm. Now I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, but it's Bella Rive, kind of how it looks. It's Bella Rive, but they are a worship band, but they have really kind of surprised me in their uniqueness, songwriting. You're just not going to find a band that sounds like them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And which is really, really, difficult in the Christian genre. Like mm-hmm. you can agree with that. Like most Christian artists are kind of starting to sound the same.
Yeah,
and they sing totally. About the same thing. I read in my worship magazine, you know, worship leaders are going to run out of God water metaphors. Like, his grace is like an ocean, or we're drowning. You know, they're going to run out of that stuff. Well, Bella Reeve has really kind of pushed the envelope when it comes to lyrics. In like one song, it says, you know, rip these tendons. It hinders my reach toward you. I mean, who thinks of that? Like, your tendons and your arms or anything is going to hinder your reach towards God. I mean, that's really different and really pretty profound when you think about it. So that is a band that I think you should go check out. You can get their CD on iTunes, Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can look their videos up on YouTube, but they're an incredible band.
That is cool. Speaking of, well, I have two things to say. One's more serious and this another one's not as serious. Which one do you want first?
Not serious.
You know how you say it? You were like Bella Reeve. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce the name. My favorite director, I've been calling Judd Apatow.
I was going to talk to you about this.
Oh, no. I've called him Judd Apatow.
Apatow. Yeah. And it's Apatow.
Apatow. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it kind of shattered my view because I was watching TV.
I've been calling him for like 5 years.
And it's Apatow. I'm like, what? Apatow? Who's the...
Nobody corrected me. Nobody said, hey, You're saying it wrong.
This is also a director that very few people know.
I guess that's true. If you weren't, he's trendy. The director of Knocked Up.
And the new movie coming out on Christmas. This is 40, the sort of sequel of Knocked Up.
Funny, I think.
This is 40, yes. Yeah. For the 40-year-olds out there, go see it. Because it's all about you.
Okay, on the more serious thing, I asked a question on YouTube. I said, you said, we kind of think anything can separate us from God, like our arms and stuff like that. I asked this question. I said, what is something you've always wanted to ask God? And somebody said, how can I remain in your presence while in the midst of chaos? Which I kind of see as, how am I supposed to remain dedicated to or do?
It's kind of the whole idea that St. Paul talks about of, you know, being in the world but not of the world type thing.
Twitter.
But it's, you know, it's definitely easy to see, especially around this time of year, it is chaotic. I mean, even just talking about Black Friday, it's insanely chaotic around here. Even in a small town, it gets pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
And so I like the question, how do you stay in God's presence in the midst of all that? And it's not really your surroundings. It's not the outer part, but I'd say it's the focusing on what is inside, the inner. You know, the church fathers talk about, you know, your inner sanctuary of your heart. And, you know, that is a place you can always go. But, I mean, what do you think?
I kind of saw a question in a different way. Like, how can I remain in your presence in the midst of chaos as bad times? Instead of busyness, like bad times. And, you know, of course we're not ever going to be perfect. But it's a choice, you know. We have that choice to remain in his presence, practicing his presence, and we don't always want to, you know, and I think that's the big thing, is it's just a choice. It's up to us. It's a discipline to remain disciplined and remain in his presence during, if it's busy or bad times or anything like that.
No, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
No, but I think that's a really, really common question, whether it's voiced or unvoiced among, you know, believers or even non-believers. Mm-hmm. Non-believers, I think they go, you know, they look at the chaos and go, oh, well, you know, bad times, you know, or busyness, you know, because there's bad times, because there's evil, because there's chaos, you know, God can't exist. But, you know, then the believers look at it as, you know, God, I know you're there, but why is this happening? How do I stay close to you?
Yeah, and I almost said, when I said, what is a question you'd like to ask God? I almost said, no, why do bad things happen? Because I think that's a question a lot of people have. And that kind of goes along with, how am I supposed to stay in your presence in the midst of chaos or in the midst of bad times? You know, as Christians, we believe that. I believe that God doesn't necessarily cause bad times, but us humans do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. The bad times are a result of the free will choice between good and evil. And, you know, us choosing evil, that's the bad times.
And even, like, here's, like, a huge whatever, but it's my opinion. You can look at all there, and some people say, well, what about natural disasters? Well, what we're doing as humans to our environment right now is causing some natural disaster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and what you're touching on is, you know, the different forms of evil. You know, there's moral evil, which, you know, is the, you know, the choices we make. Mm-hmm. And then there's natural evil, which is, you know, the natural disasters that occur. And which is, you know, natural disasters are completely unexplainable, because, no, I really can't believe that. Like, that God sent Hurricane Sandy to punish people. I just, you know, he could have. I don't know, I'm not God, but I just don't think that's true. But at the same time, you know, why does that happen? You know, and, yes, could it possibly be because we're screwing up our environment mm-hmm. because of what we're doing? Yeah. But, you know, natural disasters happened before we started doing all this stuff. And so it's really an interesting thought. You know, natural evil has always been a thing that I have really had a hard time with.
I think what people really want to know is, why do you let these things happen? When he could, like, you know, natural disasters, quote unquote, is something that the earth just does. And I think people think God could stop these things from happening. Why doesn't he? I think that's the main question we have. Not really why do bad things happen, but why don't you stop them from happening?
Oh, no. Yeah. You've hit the nail on the head there. Why don't you stop this from happening? Why don't you stop, you know, we hear kids, why don't you stop my parents from fighting, or stop my parents from getting a divorce? Why don't you stop this cancer that's running through my grandma's body? You know, there's, why don't you stop this hurricane from happening? You know, it kind of brings about this feeling of God being uninvolved from culture. And, you know, that's, gosh, we could talk for hours about that.
Yeah, on but, free will.
Yeah, on all this stuff. But the truth is, you know, look at all the good that comes out of these situations. Yes, of course, there is an overwhelming amount of bad, but the amount of good that comes out of this, and the testing of faith, and, you know, the blessing, you know, making beauty from ashes is something God is incredibly good at. That's what he does. He takes the bad and turns it into good.
Yeah, I just think we don't want to look at the bad. I mean, the good.
Yeah.
I think we choose to look at the bad. And Little Mister's here now.
Do you have something to say? Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so now we are on to... Okay, Little Mister.
We don't speak cat.
Okay, so... The top box office hit right now, can you guess?
Gangnam Style, the movie. Just kidding. Titanic 2, Titanic Returns. Yeah. Kong 2, Son of Kong.
No, it is Twilight.
Twilight, finally.
So, I really want to see this movie. I'm a fan of the Twilight story, and I read most of the books, and not the fourth one, because your mom told me the ending. Okay, but...
Yeah, no, I'm kind of excited to see it, mainly because I really, you know, my guy blood starts pumping when vampires and werewolves fight. I don't know what it is. It's just really cool to watch. Now, all the mushy-gushy stuff, I'm sure, is going to be very emotional and, you know, very sad. From what I've heard, it's a satisfying ending. That you don't leave feeling like, wow, they really screwed that up.
I think the one problem I have with Twilight, which is kind of funny, it's so ridiculous and dumb, but it's just so, like, it messes with even me emotionally. Like, oh, you know, with the whole vampire being with each other forever. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, crap, you're not gonna die.
Think no.
Well, what are you saying?
Like,
I was like,
how people perceive love.
Oh.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just kind of unrealistic. And as much, and it's like you want that to be real. Like, you want to be with the person you love forever and to kick ass together. And you know what I'm saying, though? Like,
you said the A word.
Oh, well, whatever. It's our show. So.
Well, no, but even like, it. The whole idea of eternity is a Christian idea. You know, it's just there's, you know, the whole death part that is different. You know, eternity exists, but it's the whole death thing that is weird about vampires.
And, yeah.
You know, werewolves, you know, they're the real heroes here.
Yeah.
Are you for Jacob or are you for Edward?
I'm totally for Edward.
Totally for Jacob.
It's like, she loves him, though. She loves Edward. She doesn't love Jacob. And Jacob's some creep now that wants her daughter. What is that?
One of my favorite parts I think it was the last movie, he takes her hand and puts it on his heart. He's like, do you feel that? That's a beating heart. That's blood running through my veins. That is a naked peck in your hand. You know what I mean? It's like, what if Edward did that? this is my cold nipple. I have no blood. I have no heart. I am damned. You know what I mean? I love that part.
But the cool thing about these movies is they talk about, you know, the whole, is Edward damned or something? And, you know, essentially you believe he's not because he's a good person.
Well, no, technically he's not a person. He's a vampire.
Whatever. You know what I mean?
That's below a person on the chain. Sorry.
I know you can't see, but I just gave him a bad look. Anyways.
You heard it.
You get what I'm saying, though. Like, which is kind of cool to... Which, you could get into that topic. Oh, are all good people going to heaven and la 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 la.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Which is, again, another...
Well.
Okay. So, we're moving on to Kasha's health tip of the day. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. So, my health tip of the day is today I read about seasonal depression. Starts around this time. Oh,
that's very on topic. Good job.
Yes, it starts very around relevant. This time. And how is a way you can take care of that? I even personally kind of deal with that kind of stuff.
I think everybody does on a certain level.
And the biggest way is simply to go outside.
Even though it's freezing?
Even though it's freezing. 15 minutes a day. Go outside.
And here's Jesse's what to do when you've gone outside for 15 minutes a day tip.
Do you have a tip?
Shovel. Snow. Wash your car.
It's just, you know, you don't even have to go outside for that long. Being in the sunlight. And, you know, they have these things where you can get this lamp that is supposed to be like sunlight. But come on. Come on.
Come on.
Really?
Probably.
Yeah, I know there really is.
But what the real issue here is, Kasha, is not those who struggle with seasonal depression, but seasonal happiness. For those of you who struggle with seasonal happiness and who, when it comes to wintertime, you are just so overly happy, overly joyful, here is my tip to handle that. Stay inside. Read the fourth Twilight book. Watch the first few movies. Then think about eternity of being with that person. That should do it. That really should.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, that's the way... to help seasonal depression is go outside, do something productive outside. You know, there's still...
even jumping jacks.
Okay. Even though there's winter, there's still stuff we can always be doing outside. You know, if it's walking, we could walk to our post office and really wouldn't even get that cold. You know?
You really don't think you would get that cold, Miss Zero Body Fat.
Okay. But you know what I mean?
Yes.
It is a good tip.
No, yeah, it's very... No, I even had a friend in college that really, really, really struggled and was medicated for it. So it's definitely a relevant topic. Well done. Yeah,
And of course, always eat vitamin C. And
eating correctly, too, will really help that. Like, making sure you drink enough water. I know, like, I'm a soda drinker. Mm-hmm. I really am trying to stop. I know, I'm saying I'm trying. You know, just do it. But it really is difficult. Drinking enough water... She's drinking a soda.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking enough water and making sure, like, eat breakfast. I know that's a silly thing, but that really, you know, helps your mood throughout the day.
And people say, like, what else other than oranges has vitamin C? Red bell peppers have 3 times the vitamin C that oranges do.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Interesting, huh? Well, everybody, we're out of time. It's been our 30 minutes, and so we are really glad that you are listening to our first J&K for today.
We'll get the name right.
But thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Kasha.
Peace.
Peace.